Revelation 21 will be in the New Testament. Amen. That was a joke, I hope. Amen. Just Genesis and take a right. Revelation 21. And we're going to talk about some things today. Looking forward into eternity. Looking forward into eternity. Beginning in verse number 1 in Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, 'Come hither, and I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.' He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardis, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprasus, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. every several gate was one of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he shewed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he saith unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to shew unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which shewed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, murderers, and adulterers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Looking forward into eternity, I know we've read this, some of the passage here several months back, but when God calls us out of here and we get into the future, we get into eternity, I don't want you to be too shocked, amen. I want to get a little glimpse, a glimpse of glory now, a glimpse into what we are looking forward to. And we understand we're not of this world. This world's not our home, right? We're just passing through. I like that song, Our Treasures Are Laid Up Somewhere Beyond the Blue. I know we're not citizens of this place. Matter of fact, we're in heavenly places, seated in heavenly places with Christ, in Christ Jesus now. Amen. That's one reason this place is so aggravating. It vexes our righteous soul. Amen. We have a righteous soul, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when you're walking with Him, the closer you walk with Him, the more this place will disgust you. But this isn't the end. Amen. This isn't it. Praise God. You know, people, I heard people talk about, well, this is hell. And then, you know, people go to heaven, but this is hell. And then when they die, if they don't go to heaven, they just don't exist or whatever. This is, doesn't even scratch the surface of hell, but this is bad. Amen. This is this doesn't bear good witness with the Spirit of God that dwells in us. This is a fleshly, carnal, worldly mess. And we're in it for a purpose. We're in it to call people to repentance and trust in Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. But looking into the future, in verse number 1 of chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I want to look at new things. There's a new heaven and a new earth one day. Now, I understand there are things that, rightly dividing, we are looking at before we get to that new heaven and a new earth. But one of these days, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where sin has never dwelled. If there won't be Walmarts, but if there were, they wouldn't be playing the music they're playing. Amen. They'd be playing Hallelujah to the King or something like that. They'd be playing Amazing Grace or what have you. But there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And you know the reason there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth? Because He makes all things new. He says the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, looking into the future. Now also, remember, looking into the future, the new heaven and the new earth, we see new things that are connected with Israel in eternity. 12 tribes, 12 apostles, all these things connected with Israel in eternity, because God's not through with Israel. If He was through with Israel, there wouldn't be new things that have anything to do with Israel. There wouldn't be anything new looking into the future, looking into eternity that had anything to do with 12 tribes or 12 groups of people that He's through with. Amen. There wouldn't be 144,000, 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes if God was through with Israel. I mean, Israel, to a point, they're through with God right now, but they're going to turn back to Him. And He is going to allow some things to happen and cause some things to happen that's going to call Him out a remnant of people that love Him and serve Him. To say that the new things wouldn't involve Israel in eternity is to say the devil won in that aspect. Because God called us out of people to be His people and made eternal promises. And if the devil was able to make God a liar, that would make the devil God. It would place him above the God of Genesis 1:1. God's not through with Israel. There are going to be new things, new heaven and a new earth. Look at verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. New heaven, new earth, the new Jerusalem comes down out of the new heaven. You know what we're seeing? Not just the new Jerusalem, but the holy city. Well, I'll tell you, we're looking for holy things. Amen? The new you, the purified soul, the justified soul, the born-again part of you, wants to be around and in something that's new and holy. That's the reason the devil attacks the Bible so much, because there's such a blessing to open up the holy words of God and be in the presence of the holy God by reading your Bible and putting faith in His Word. See, what it's a living book, and you know what? There's something new in it for you all the time. And when you open it up in this world, it's the only thing you ever see that's holy. That's it. And the devil wants to take that from you. Matter of fact, he can't take it, but he wants you to give it to him and say, all right, I don't believe it. I won't read it. I won't rightly divide it. I won't study it. I won't meditate on it. I won't pray over it. And I'll just be worldly. But boy, there's something about being in church and opening up His precious Word and seeing something new and being around something holy. You know why it doesn't bother most people to skip church or most people to go to church once a year or whatever? It's because There's nothing holy when they go. They've got an NIV they don't believe. They've got an RSV they don't believe. They've got a preacher they can't trust. They got a. I hope and pray that you can always trust me. I try my best to follow in truth. I don't want to give you anything that's a lie. If I ever tell you anything that's wrong, it's unintentional. I hope and pray it's always that way, because my heart's desire is to lay the truth out in the right manner. I know I don't do it all the time, but I want the truth to be preached. Because most people anymore, they go to a building with other people. It's not holy. I mean, you could go to aisle 13 at Walmart and hear the same music. Amen. You could go to aisle 666, aisle 13, aisle 18 at Walmart and have the same feeling. But there ought to be, when you show up in church, there ought to be something occasionally new, and there ought to be a feeling of holiness. Amen. Because this isn't just a place to meet together and get something from Him, but it is a place to meet and give Him something back. Praise, honor, worship. I've been to different churches over my lifetime, and I'll tell you, some of the churches I look forward to go, any of them that preach the Bible, whether you know, even if they didn't rightly divide it and they were preaching out of this book, there was always a desire to go back. As long as they weren't teaching some crazy heresy. There's a desire. There was something there I needed. And there was something there I wanted to go back for. And then I got into some Bible-believing churches that rightly divided, and I thought, man, there's going to be something new when I go back. Maybe not every week, but I can count on it occasionally finding something new at church. Something different. Not some new thing, but something that the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and our hearts to. But looking into eternity, we're gonna have some new things, and things are gonna be holy. There won't be any rainbow flags in the new heaven and new earth. Amen. There might be a rainbow that God reminds you that He reminded Himself to not destroy the place all ever again. But there's not going to be a rainbow with a bunch of perversion going on around it. There won't be perversion. You won't have to wonder if you walk down the street and hear the Word of God, whether it's an NIV or not. Amen. Because it won't be allowed in the new place. But they're going to be new things and holy things. We'll look at verse number 4. If you have a shouter at all, this ought to stir it up. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. You know, there are going to be new things, they're going to be holy, and there's going to be a clean slate. A clean slate. There'll be no more of the flesh, there'll be no more of the pains and sorrows of this life, there'll be no more of the devil's accusations, there'll be no more of that. It'll be a clean slate. Wouldn't that be good? Right now, here we are, we're born again, we're not, we're circumcised, separated from this flesh, we have a purified soul, we've been given God's righteousness, you are born into the family of God, you no longer belong to the devil, you're no longer in the bondage of sin, and all those things are great. But the devil won't be able to bring up your past, because your past is going to be gone. Amen. It'll be gone. He won't be able to mess with you in the present because he'll be gone. Amen? You know what you're going to be? You're going to be new and holy. Clean slate. You know, when you play a game or whatever, you know, I don't like playing games over, you know, listening creeds, the kids always beat me if they're playing something. They'll get some kids game out and they know it and I don't, and They're cheating. That's what it is. One of these days they'll get right. But Lucas, so he knows how to win on that ogre. They got an ogre game. I don't know. Anyway. But when something happens in this world, I mean, you got a basketball game or a football game or a hockey game or whatever, and boy, it's 21-20, and the one team lost, and they meet again. You know what they got? They got a clean slate. They could start over again. But we're going to get a clean slate without all the garbage. We're going to get a clean slate without the devil. We're going to get a clean slate without this flesh, without the worldly influences, without all the perversion that's going on outside these walls and all the influences of the world of flesh. We're getting a clean slate. You know what else is going to be in eternity? Look at verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. Truth. You're not going to have to pray about or wonder or read the Bible to figure out what truth is. You're going to be sitting in the presence of it. In the new place, the holy place, the clean slate place, there's going to be truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, this Bible. Amen? Jump down to verse 9. This is where people get confused by missing this verse. Because you remember we jump over later and it talks about him that are worthy and those endure and those that are, you know, are worthy to take of the water of the strength, you know, the water of life, all that stuff. Well, that doesn't include us, because look at verse number 9, which is another reason that the rapture theology is so important and the timing of the rapture is so important. Look at verse number 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will shew thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. That's the church. Guess where they're at? We're going to be there. You know what we are? We are the purified bride. You know what that means? We've already been through the judgment seat of Christ. We are purified. We are showing up before these other things go on. When it talks about the water of life freely and all these things, that doesn't involve us, because we are already saved. We're already called out. We're already purified. There's nothing for us to be worthy about. We're already deemed worthy because we have His righteousness and we've gotten rid of this flesh. We are the righteousness of God at that point. We have been not only given His righteousness now, but we've been, the old things are gone. The impurities have been burned off at the judgment seat of Christ. We're already right. We're not waiting to be judged worthy of a tree of life or a water of life. We've already been given eternal life. And people go, well, there's two, you know, there's the judgment of the saved, judgment of the lost. They get up here and they think they're judging people to see whether they get this water or not from the church age. And the truth is, if you're saved, you've already got the water. Amen. You've already been to the tree. Amen. Spiritually, kind of practically speaking, you've already had the leaves because by His stripes we are healed. We have the healing. We have all that stuff. We just haven't caught up with all of it yet. At the rapture, everything's coming together. The completed salvation. Now, our eternal life and our everlasting life and salvation has already been given to us, but the completing of that is when we get the new body. And we're purified through the... we will not have any impurities. The pure, purified bride. Look at verse 10. And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and shewed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And the light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, you know what we see? We see the glory of God. You know, we have eternally, we will eternally be in the presence of the glory of God. Isn't that something? You know, we talk about now, and it's an amazing thing. I mean, you go to church and praise the Lord, God has been good to us, and He gives us something out of the book and gives us something. But sometimes, like a revival meeting, you go to a revival meeting, and a revival meeting be 3, 4, 5 nights, whatever it is, long. And one night is just so much different. Usually it's the first couple nights, everybody's broken. By the time you get to night three or night four, the presence of God's so thick, it's almost like you're already there. Things are different. The world's not in your rearview mirror anymore. Everything's gone. It's just you and Him. You got God shows up like He couldn't show up the first couple nights because we get out of the way. We're not going to be in the way anymore. We're looking into eternity and seeing the glory of God forever. Look at verse 12. And a great wall, and a high, and a 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. We're talking about this beautiful city. This beautiful city. My wife and I went on a road trip yesterday, and we come back through one town. And we go through one town, and it's kind of run down. And we get to the next town. And it's just clean. Like, man, you can see the difference here. Look at this city. You wouldn't think this little town would be that much different than that little town. But there's something about clean that just makes you feel safe and brings you some peace and comfort. And we're going to be in a beautiful city that you ain't never seen anything like. I hope Trump's saved, he gets saved or whatever, but if he's saved, he gets saved, whatever, and he goes to that city, he'll spit on the gold faucets he has now. Amen? He'll realize he lived in the filthy pit. Amen? Compared to what God has prepared. I have not seen or heard or entered into the heart of man. You're going to see a city that's so beautiful. I'm talking immaculately beautiful. I'm not talking about, well, that's pretty good, and this is pretty good, and that's pretty good, and this guy did a good job. You're going to see the perfect, beautiful city that God created that came down out of a new heaven that never had sin in it. Has no hint of a curse anywhere around it. And the light is the glory of God, and it's so clear. You know what it says? It's clear as crystal. We don't see His light clear as crystal right now because now we see it as through a dark glass, but we're going to see Him face to face. Amen? The problem is most born-again believers, most people that claim to be saved, most churchgoers are so happy with the things of this world and chasing the things of this world, they don't even know they're not seeing Him now like they will see Him in the future. Amen? We're going to see Him face to face. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord before the judgment seat, that's going to be a terrifying thing. But the purified bride is going to be in a new place, a holy place with a clean slate and the truth. And the purified bride, the glory of God will be there in a beautiful city. Look at verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold as it were transparent glass. Pure gold. Pure gold. You know why we sing that? I sing that song. What was the song we sing about the streets of gold? It's the street of gold. It's one street in the New Jerusalem. And ain't nothing wrong with singing streets. God ain't going to take your salvation for it. But this is where we get the street. It's one street. And the street is of gold so pure as it were transparent glass. We're going to be in a pure place, pure gold. We're going to be able to finally walk in a clean place. Isn't that something? I thank God for my wife because I wouldn't be able to get through our house, if it wasn't for her cleaning. And I was thinking about this morning. I was looking over at the sink and stuff and like, man, look at everything's decently in order. I don't know what that is. Like I say, my ADHD overcomes my OCD, and I'd never get anything done. But she got things decently and in order. If everything in the world went silent but our house, everybody'd hear our washing machine and dryer all the time. Amen? And it's good to have things clean. And the cleaner it is in this world, the more comfortable we are. But we're going to a place that has a street so pure, it'll be the first place you ever walk. The first place you ever stepped foot that was clean. I mean completely pure and clean. Say, well, we got some 99.97 gold. You can't see through it. You know what I think? I think there are more impurities here than we ever realized. Wait till you get there. Amen? Look at verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God to lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Pure light. Pure light. We don't need the gas sun in the sky. Jesus Christ, the Son, is that light. You know what it says? The glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, because Jesus Christ is the glory of God. Why do you think he's attacked so much? Because man wants his own glory, and they want to reject the glory of God. The Pharisees didn't want the glory of God. They wanted their own glory. They didn't mind the impurities. They'd overlook those. But when the glory of God showed up and it convicted them, they didn't want anything to do with it. And that's the way the world is today. The glory of God, the Word of God, the truth of God, the Son of God, the blood of God, they don't want anything to do with it. The light of God, they don't want anything to do with it, because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And the light of God shows your impurities. Amen. It shows man's unrighteousness. That's why they hate the law. Oh, I don't believe that God could send anybody here to do it. They don't like the law because they're guilty. They don't like the truth, Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life, because that means they need somebody that's not guilty to save them from their guilt. And they want their glory and their righteousness instead of the righteousness of God. And the Bible talks about that, that Israel went about to establish their own righteousness, rejecting the righteousness of God. And people do it all day long, every day on this earth. They don't want God's righteousness. They want to, oh, if there is a God, he'll probably let me in because I'm not a bad old guy. Or I'm a pretty good gal or whatever. Well, judging themselves and among themselves is exactly what they're doing. They're saying, I'm not as bad as this person. I'm not as bad as that person. You can always find somebody that does something worse in your mind, and you can justify yourself by saying, I'm not that bad. I'm glad I'm not like them. And the truth is, you're just as wicked and just as filthy without Jesus Christ, and you'll burn just as long in the same place without salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. They reject the glory of God. But we're going to see it. We're going to see pure gold, pure light. Look at verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. You know what we have? Eternal light. It's going to be eternal light. You go into the nighttime now, and it's time to go to sleep. That's why people that work different shifts, it's really hard on them, because when it's dark, you're supposed to be asleep. And people that work second shift and third shift, it's really tough on them. I mean, they've got all kinds of usually health issues and emotional things. It's just tough. And then you black out your windows so you can sleep in the daytime. A lot of folks have to do that because they've got to be in there at 11 o'clock work or whatever. And they got to sleep in the daytime. The second shift, when I worked second shift, it was worse than third, because you get home, you're too wound up to go to sleep. And then by the time you do go to sleep, it's time to get up and run the errands in the hour block. That's all you got before you got to go get ready to go back again. All that stuff. But it's tough on them because you're supposed to be asleep at dark. There's not going to be any more of that. It'll be light all the time. Eternal light. Verse 27. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. Isn't that neat? Isn't that something, how he separates those two things, defiling and abomination? You know, you realize there's one thing that he's real specific about being an abomination, connected directly to the rainbow flags of this world. Amen. Say, well, everybody's the same, and all, you know, you're standing my... No. Well, God says that's an abomination. Or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You know what there is up there? There's nothing defiling nothing abominable. It's not only pure gold and pure light, it's pure peace. Pure peace. Isn't it funny how the people that preach peace the most have the least of it? They're miserable. They preach about peace. They want peace, peace, peace. They don't want, this warmonger here, warmonger there, we want peace. And they have no peace because they don't have Jesus Christ. And some of the most unpeaceful, wicked things go on when they're preaching about peace. Talking about peace. Can't we just all get along? That means, can't we just all line up against the truth and go with it? No. But there's going to be eternal light, pure gold, pure peace. Chapter 22, verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. A pure river. A pure river. We don't even understand what pure is. We get to a certain amount, what scientifically they call a certain percentage of impurities, and we call it good, and we allow for certain amount of impurities. You know why? Because we can't get rid of them. We can't have anything. There's nothing that can be 100% pure here except for the pure words of God and pure truth of salvation. They can't purify water to 100%. They can't purify air to 100%. They can't purify gold, silver, bronze, anything to 100%. They can get it to a certain point where they can use it for man's causes, but there's going to be a pure river that had absolutely no touch of that curse on it, ever. Look at verse 3, chapter 22. There shall be no curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. You know what we're going to have? A pure existence. A pure existence. I'm telling you, I hate to just use Walmart, but that's the place that really aggravates me the most with the music, I think. Because I don't go in. If I was going into a bar, I would expect that music, but I don't want to do that. When I go into Walmart, my wife and I go to Walmart, pick something up, and we'll run the circuit, you know, the clearance aisles. And after about 15 minutes, my flesh starts noticing that music. And my spirit is like, no, I don't like this. But something in my soul is like, this is not right. And by the time we're in there 15, 20 minutes, you find, you go to some of them aisles, and some of the aisles is like you're right under the speaker or something. And they got the country rock rap going on all in one song. And you're like, man, I got to get out of here. After a while, it's like, I can't take it anymore. My wife's like, oh, that music's driving me. I'm like, yeah, we're going crazy here. Let's go get the things we absolutely have to get and head to the car, amen. But we're going to have a pure existence. There's not going to be any of that outside influence that ever had any touch of the curse on it. It's going to be amazing. Verse 3 and 4 again. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. You know what there's finally going to be for eternity? And this is what all this stuff's leading up to. Pure worship. Pure worship. You ever hear people say, what do you think we're going to be doing in heaven? I'll tell you what we're going to be doing. We're going to be worshiping him forever. And if you ever got close to pure worship in your lifetime, you'll realize that that's not going to be a bad thing. Amen? Think about it. Think about being in church and God showing up and the world disappearing, your flesh just shutting itself down and not bugging you, and the Holy Spirit's moving and the Word of God's blessing you, what a great thing. And it's not perfect here, but it's going to be perfect one day. Perfect worship of Him. We can see Him in all His glory. You won't be worried about whether or not they're bacon in heaven. I mean, you have people ask, think there'll be fried chicken? I'm kind of on that boat, too. If we couldn't just worship him and we had to find something to do, I would vote for maybe bacon and peanut butter cookies. Amen? But that stuff ain't going to matter. That stuff ain't going to matter. We'll be in a place, a pure place, with a pure soul, without the influence of the world, the flesh, of the devil, and the curse on this world. We'll be in his presence, and we'll be able to worship him purely. You ever get in to pray, and the devil starts whispering in your ear, all just garbage? You're like, what in the world? Where'd that thought come from? You'll be driving down the road, and one of the songs that we sing in church will come on your mind. You'll start singing part of it, and then something else will pop up. And you're like, man, that's not going to happen anymore. All those outside distractions and influences are going to be gone. Now, I understand we're looking for the rapture because we're looking for our blessed hope, his glorious appearing. Praise God. To see him will be the best thing that ever happened to you, to see him face to face. That'll be the best thing that ever happened. But right behind that is an eternity in some place pure. Amen? Good night. You ever hear people say, well, I can worship God out in the woods. I can worship him down at the crappie bank. I can worship God. And you can do that. But you're saying instead of getting together with other believers and opening the pure words of God and letting the Holy Spirit have a shot at you, you'd rather go into a cursed place by yourself and try to get a hold of God? Not that you can if you're saved, but you're not going to tell me you're going to go to a place where there's dead leaves and fungus and dead trees and dead things everywhere, and you're going to get a bigger blessing or as much of a blessing as you can come around a bunch of people that have been born again, that are alive, that are all looking to see him? People don't understand what church actually is. It's a place to get together with other believers away from the impurities. We can't get to 100% impure, but we can get closer than you can outside the world, in the world. Amen? Well, I just don't believe church is important. I don't like organized religion. I don't like organized religion either. I like my Bible. I don't organize religion. Catholicism, Lutheranism, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever. You know what I like now that I got saved? Truth. I've had people over the years, many, 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 many times, many, many, many people say, well, I'm just not religious. And I say, I'm not either. And they're like, well, you pastor a church or whatever. You're preaching. Yeah, but I'm not religious. I'm not going through the traditions of man trying to get you into the traditions of man. I'm trying to tell you that Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and blood atonement, paid your wicked sin debt, and you could have everlasting life and know it. That's not religion, that's truth. Amen? New place, a holy place, a clean slate. Oh, man. Truth, purified bride, the glory of God, beautiful city, pure gold, pure light, eternal light, pure peace, pure river, pure existence, and pure worship. Look at verse 17 of chapter 22. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know what you're seeing? You're seeing an invitation. An invitation to the purities we just seen. But the invitation is not directed at the bride. It's directed at folks after the bride leaves. But there's an invitation for folks today to get saved, and they can see all these things in eternity. And there's an invitation, practically speaking, for folks to get alone with God and try to get something close to pure. Amen? I like what a preacher said one time about, you know, Bob Jones University, Hiles, and stuff like that. They might not be right on some things, but it's one of the cleanest places you ever be in outside of a church house. I mean, they might be wrong on pushing certain dress standards. They might be wrong on being so legalistic that it almost stir you the wrong way or whatever. But what they're right about is trying to be clean. And some of the cleanest places you ever be in this world will be in some of those not rightly dividing necessarily, but around the crowd that maybe overdoes it on standards, but they have standards. Amen? We're supposed to have some standards. And they should be based on this, an individual conviction. I could come in here next Sunday. We could have 70 visitors in here next Sunday, and I could say, you know what? I've been thinking about this, and I think all the women ought to be wearing a dress that's within a half inch of the floor. And I think every man ought to have a dark blue tie with a black coat, black pants, and shined up cap toe shoes. I'll tell you the brand you ought to have. We ought to match. We'll let you ladies have a little liberty, and you can pick your dress color. It's either going to be blue, gray, or black. You know, I do that. And you know what? If I did that and there were 70 people here, there are probably a few of them that would stay and do it. But you know why they'd do it? They'd do it because I said so, not because God convicted them. Amen? You know what I'm telling you? That's overboard anyway with standards. But if you do something for another human being, you're not doing it for God. If you got any doubts about where you walk, what you do, what you wear, what you eat, what you drink, you ought to get on your knees and ask God to show you. Amen? And if there's any doubt about it, err on the side of caution. You think you're going to get to heaven one day and the Lord's going to say, well, you know what? I think that dress was an inch too long. I think your pants were a little bit too loose. I think your hips weren't hugged tight enough. I think you men weren't showing your, I don't think God's going to say that. You know what God's going to say? You know what? I didn't ask for that, but you did it because you wanted to please me. There'll be a whole lot of people that, boy, the world looked at them, they said, man, those people were good night. And the Lord's going to say, yeah, you didn't do that for me, you did that for the preacher. Because a lot of the bigger churches, especially independent fundamental Baptist churches that have standards, they're doing it for the preacher. I'm here to tell you today, I'm a Baptist. I believe in the priesthood of the believers. I believe in individual responsibility. I believe the Holy Spirit of God indwells you if you're saved, and I believe that you ought to ask God to convict you and guide you. If you're lazy and you don't want God to convict you and guide you and you want me to, you're not going to be on the right track with God. Amen? God will get you as close as you want to be to purity within reason here if you ask Him. If you ask Him. Amen? You should have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have a personal relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit every day. What would Jesus do? Throw the bracelet away and ask Him. Amen? I think most people who are wearing those bracelets are seriously asking. They want somebody to tell them, what would Jesus do? Amen? Well, I can tell you, he probably wouldn't be down at the tattoo parlor getting a neck tattoo. Amen? He probably wouldn't be running around in scantily clad clothing. He probably wouldn't be listening to and laughing at some of the jokes that people do at work that are saved. He probably wouldn't be listening to some of the music and and act in some of the way and react in some of the way that saved folks do. Amen? But you're not going to get your standards and convictions that please God from your preacher. You're going to get them from the Holy Spirit of God, from the Word of God, and from a relationship with Him. If He tells you you're doing something wrong, change it. If you haven't got the answer yet, err on the side of caution. Amen. This isn't a cult. We don't have a dress code. I'm not peeking in your mailbox. Don't peek in mine either, amen. Find out I got a mailbox full of junk mail all the time. But I do want you to let God peek into your heart. And you and Him get things right. Because when all's said and done, you are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and you are going to be responsible for your relationship with Him. And I'll be responsible for pointing to you and saying, look, you are personally responsible and doing the best I can to give you the truth in the meantime. But when you're at the judgment seat of Christ, He's not going to be judging me. He's going to be judging me when I'm there. He's going to be judging you. And you're not going to be able to say, well, the preacher never told me that. Or the preacher didn't. No, I'm not responsible for your life. I'm responsible for giving you the truth. You're responsible for what you do with it. And I'm not a pope, and there ain't no pope here that's biblical in this world. You don't go to God through any man. You go to God directly. And He will talk to you directly. Amen. He'll put His finger on your problem. Don't worry about your neighbor so much because He's already put His finger on theirs, amen? But He'll put His finger on your problem, and then it's your responsibility. Well, I just think Baptists are too legalistic. I'm not legalistic. I think, you know, should be trying to do decent things, things that please God. But I'm not, He didn't appoint me to set all the standards. Now, He appointed me to correct things if they get way outside the bounds of clean. Amen? For the church purposes. What I'm saying is don't be lazy. Develop your relationship with Jesus Christ and keep it. Don't count on me on Wednesday night and Sunday morning or the nursing home service or whatever. Count on Him. You know why most churches, their preacher leaves and everybody gets, they look like cockroaches. They don't know what to do. Their cockroaches are going all over the place. They don't know what's going on. Preacher dies, they get a new preacher and everybody leaves. They were following the preacher. They were doing what pleased Him. Now they don't know what to do because they never had a relationship with Jesus Christ anyway. They were saved probably. They were born into the family of God. But they weren't counting on the Holy Spirit and conviction. They were counting on the preacher to tell them everything they needed to do to be right with God. I don't even know everything I need to do. I got to get a hold of Him. Amen. But I will tell you this. We got something to look forward to. New things. Holy things. Clean slate. Eternal truth. Being the purified bride. The glory of God, the beautiful city, the pure gold, the pure light, the eternal light, pure peace, pure river, pure existence, pure worship, and that invitation. You know what He's saying to you, even though you're saved, you know what He's saying to you all the time? Come. He said, well, I'm walking with Him. You know what He's still saying? Come. A little bit closer. A little bit closer. A little bit closer. You know why I believe Elijah left? You know why I believe Enoch left? You know why I believe Noah was? Because he walked with God. Not just one time. A little bit closer. And 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 Enoch was not. He got so close to God, God just took him out of here. Well, I wish God would call us out of here. Well, maybe you're just not walking close enough. Amen. Amen. But don't worry. You won't be in the way one day, and neither will I. Because everything's going to be new and pure and holy and clean and good. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to walk with him, closer to him every day. Help us to please you. And Lord, help us to look into the eternity and know what you have for us the best we can. And realize we're just here trying to save people and pluck them out of the fire before it's too late. Draw them to you so you can give them everlasting life. And Lord, use this church for your honor and your glory. Come get us soon, in Jesus' name. Amen.